On today's episode, we outline the 8 most shocking wide receiver ADPs out there. How do we define shocking? Well, I took all of your home league, your redraft ADP platforms, and averaged those ADPs together, then took Hayden Ice and then compared them. So we found where we disagree the most with the sites that you are drafting your individual teams from. So it's just our goal to convince you that we're smarter than everyone else. Like the two headliners for us always, Christian Watson, Parker Washington. We've talked a lot about those names this summer. So we have 8 more for you that we are planting our flags on. We have full belief in comparison to the public and to the market out there. So stay tuned. Coming up, Yahoo Fantasy Football with Josh and Hayden is right after this. This show is a simple one. 8 wide receivers that Hayden and I have ranked drastically different than your home leagues. Yes, we took the ADPs from all of these redraft sites, packaged them into just one number, compared that one number to Hayden and I's positional rankings for wide receivers. And now it's our job to convince the people that we are simply smarter than these platforms. You think we have it in us?
We'll see. I'll try to keep it brief. We've talked about some of these players extensively, and then I also went into the lab talking about some players maybe we haven't talked about enough and how we rank them differently.
Yeah, there are 8 names we're going to hit on today. I will say there are 2 headliners at the top that aren't in that 8 that I think kind of define this idea for us this year. That is Christian Watson, who is wide receiver 29 in your home league ADPs right now. He's ranked for us as wide receiver 23 or 24. And then Parker Washington, composite wide receiver 32. And for us, he's wide receiver 27 or 25. How do you feel about those 2 names defining us in terms of wide receivers we are overdrafting compared to the public?
I like this a lot. We have high end efficiency from both of the offenses. We have high end efficiency on both of these players, and then emerging players who people probably don't realize just how good they possibly can be. Christian Watson, wide receiver 17 per game last year, coming off of a torn ACL. They gave him over $100 million in an extension. Right here, they let Romeo Doubs walk, the trade Dontavian Wicks. He's going to be a full-time player, and I think that there's some evidence that the Packers are going to be tinkering with their offense, which means more plays, more pass attempts, and that defense isn't going to be quite as good early on without Micah Parsons. So I really like Christian Watson in particular.
Yeah, when I zoomed out and asked myself, okay, why am I that much higher than all these platforms on both of these names? It's that I don't think maybe people have caught up to how much they have changed or improved their games. Like you said, for Christian Watson, I mean, he evolved. He's not just this high variance downfield 17 ADOT player anymore. Like last year, it was 3rd and 6. He's our go-to player. We get him in motion. We get him in stacks. It's even the out routes, like that jump from 7% of his number of routes up to 35% this past year. So to me, he is like their primary target now versus being this boom or bust option in your bench every single week for fantasy football. And then with Parker Washington, obviously, we're talking about a late round NFL draft pick who really did very little in the opening few weeks. But then when it was him and Brian Thomas Jr. and Jacoby Myers all on the field at the exact same time, it was very clear who their number one wide receiver was in that grouping, and it was Parker Washington. And Hayden, let's say the drumbeat this offseason has not gotten any quieter here for PW.
Yeah, first of all, he's like not coming off the field at all, and he's leading the team in targets, receptions, all the categories, and they're about to pay him a lot of money if they do that before the season or long term. I think the timeline's important with Parker Washington because the Jacksonville Jaguars traded for Jacoby Myers before Parker Washington really ascended, and then they paid him obviously as well. But I think that if they had known Parker Washington was this good, they might not even have had to do that. But from week 7 on, that's when he became a near full-time player. And now I think he's going to be actually a full-time player.
Yep.
He was the wide receiver 18 on wide receiver 15 usage. He had a 21% target share despite not playing every single snap. And then we look at the depth chart. I think this is key. Travis Hunter is actually the backup at X receiver behind Brian Thomas. They're going to have Parker Washington as an inside-outside player. He's going to be out there in 2 wide receiver sets, 3 wide receiver sets. He gets all the gimme stuff. Liam Cohen's favorite play. It was a draw up, a crosser to Parker Washington, and then go watch his tape. He's excellent. So I moved him. I'm all the way in. I have him as top 50 player. You don't have to draft him there. I've seen his calves. I'm in.
Absolutely love all that. Yeah, he's not coming off the field. He's an outside-inside player, and we love all of that. Okay. We've talked about those 2 players enough. As Hayden said, we have about 8 other names that we really haven't hit on enough this offseason. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with the 3 that we are higher on, then go to kind of 3 in the news at this point over the first couple weeks of training camp, and then 2 that we're much lower on. And by the way, I do have one secret name at the end that I haven't told Hayden about. So we'll get his reaction on that one. If you enjoy episodes like this, we have a running backs version of this one tomorrow. Hit that subscribe button. It's totally free to all of you. Our whole goal is to help you win your fantasy football league and maybe be entertaining and informative along the way. So leave a thumbs up, hit subscribe again. It's totally free. Plus, we got preseason games starting up, and that's our biggest episode of the year next Monday and Tuesday. All right. I don't think home leagues are reacting enough to offenses that can rebound. And I think the Minnesota Vikings are number one on that list, Hayden. And that brings us to Jordan Addison, who in this composite system ranks as wide receiver 45 in your home league drafts. And for us, he's our wide receiver 37 and wide receiver 39.
In 2023 and 2024, he was the wide receiver 19 on wide receiver 31 usage. That's half PPR scoring per game. Like you said, buried in the redraft settings. Obviously, he can be frustrating because he's the primary deep threat, and he was running really hot with touchdowns in that season, but still looking at the wide receiver 31 usage, and I'm taking that as a discount. I think that Kyler Murray, he might not be able to do the full Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold, but I think he can do a damn good impression of that, and he certainly has the upside to even surpass those guys. Just as a reminder, from 2022 to 2024, the Vikings were fourth in pass yards per game. Their yep. neutral pass rate was also fifth in the NFL. The play action rate was second best in the NFL. And they were not even like that good in the red zones. Like there's some options for them to even eat a little bit better offensively if everything kind of clicks. I'm just kind of buying into this. And I think last year is such a quiet season for everybody that I think we're probably getting a discount about 5 or 10 wide receiver spots in general.
100% agree with you. Like, Jordan Addison is always going to be this boom or bust wide receiver two or wide receiver three, but you're not having to pay a wide receiver two or wide receiver three price tag. In fact, he's going at like the end of the wide receiver four territory. So look, we can go back to 2024 with Sam Darnold. He was the wide receiver 21 in points per game. And again, it's not like he scored as the wide receiver 21 every week. It's some ups and downs there. Same could be said in 2023 that with Cousins, Nick Mullins, and Josh Dobbs starting games, he was the wide receiver 28. And again, you're being able to draft him as wide receiver 45 on all these platforms. So it just comes back to the Vikings were 26 in scoring last year. We now know exactly how they feel about J.J. McCarthy. I mean, Alec Lewis has reported that as the season went along, Kevin O'Connell was so frustrated by J.J. McCarthy's game. And the year before that, though, they were ninth in scoring. And then 2022, eighth in scoring. Like this offense, as long as Kyler Murray trusts his environment, hits his back foot in the face of pressure and delivers these window throws down the field, then both Justin Jefferson, and it's not just him, there's also going to be another component out there, and how it's drafting is Jordan Addison. I think this is going to be a tremendous value when we look back at it in like the totality of the 2026 season.
I'll say over that time frame, they've added a first round guard who looks really promising, Donovan Jackson. The tackles are both healthy right now. That has not always been the case. And there's some of that stint with Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, where the offensive line was like legitimately not good. I think this one you can make a case is actually a pretty decent unit. And it's going to be the best environment that Kyler Murray has ever played in. So there's like not that many high floor, you know, options when you're talking about wide receiver fours on a week to week basis. It's a fallacy. Like there is no wide receiver that I feel good about their weekly four when I'm ranking that wide receiver 40. At least Jordan Addison has some upside, not even to mention the contingent based upside that he has.
Yeah. And he's missed some time. You know, he got suspended. He's had some injuries, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He is healthy, at least I believe at this point in recording, heading into this episode. Those can change on the fly though. Yeah. I mean, when we look at wide receiver twos across the league, Hayden, there's like a handful that you can believe that you can trust on a weekly basis. I'm not calling Jordan Addison the next George Pickens when we picked out George Pickens ahead of this. You know, I'm not calling him T. Higgins. I'm just saying you're drafting a borderline 2-3 wide receiver at the near end of wide receiver four territory. So I understand the concerns that Kyler has never really elevated a second pass catcher in his offense. I'll just go back to the point that you made that this should be just an environment, an offensive play calling standpoint that has given us fantasy points in the past, and it should be the best one that Kyler has been a part of.
My last thing on the Vikings, I think that J.J. McCarthy is going to get traded here. I was looking at the Carson Wentz deal, signed like a $3 million contract. Like most quarterback threes don't make that. They obviously were hiding behind the injury last year and allowed Carson Wentz to play even longer. Right. I think it makes the most sense for J.J. McCarthy to get shipped out before the season, which would make me feel better that at least it's Carson Wentz out there if something ever happens to Kyler.
Yeah, and look, if Justin Jefferson finished as the wide receiver 37 Last year, you knew that Jordan Addison wasn't going to get there. And then now, if you think that Justin Jefferson is going to rebound this year and taking him as the 11th overall player, then we have a gap of 9 full rounds until the next Minnesota Viking. So if, again, the offense is good enough to support the 11th overall player, I don't think there should be then a gap in 9 rounds to the next guy that we are selecting right now. There is. Okay.
Yep.
Let's take it to Carolina. Why not? We're going to Carolina in my mind. Jalen Coker is up next. Composite, when we aggregate all these, wide receiver 56, but he is our combined wide receiver 50. Why are we right and they wrong?
When he's cleared 66% of the snaps in a contest, he's been averaging 9.5 half PPR points. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that would make him the wide receiver 34. He's not being drafted anywhere near that. Nope. So we'll see. I think that it's very clearly Jalen Coker in a full-time role. Just looking at the depth that they're talking about behind him, it's like Xavier Leggett's not even separating. He's dealing with injuries and stuff. So it's very clearly going to be Jalen Coker in an every snap role. Yards per target in these full-time games, at 9.7, that's really good. There's a big busted play in there, but still, I think that he offers a lot of like kind of crossing route, like big catch radius. He's got some leaping ability. He's explosive enough. He's not going to be making you guys making defenders miss all the time, but I think they rely on him. He absolutely shredded the Rams on 12 targets, 134 yards, and a touchdown there. So I think that I like drafting very clear-cut wide receiver twos on teams at the very end of my drafts. He's one of the later guys that you can qualify that for. And I do think that just watching him, I feel very good about his tape. Obviously, they paid him for the right reason.
Yeah. Matt Harmon just, you know, did his reception perception on Jalen Coker. And it's exactly what we always outline when we talk about him. Big body, athletic, wins vertically, wins over the middle of the field, wins tight windows. You can line up an X. You can line him on the line of scrimmage. And that's exactly what this team needs. They're going to be running some 2 wide receiver sets, some 3 wide receiver sets, all of it. And actually, around this time last year, they traded Adam Thielen because they were banking on Jalen Coker. And then the day that they traded Adam Thielen, Jalen Coker injures himself and misses like the first 6 weeks of the season. And then once he got back to the field as a full-time player, week 11 and on, we saw the ascension. I mean, there were weeks of wide receiver 24, 14, 24, 12, and 9 for 124 and 1 in the playoff game versus the LA Rams. And in fact, if we look over those final 7 games, he actually had the same number of targets as Teteroa McMillan and caught 31 of 40 targets for 410 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's more production than the guy that you're drafting in round 4 right now. So I'm not going on here and saying that Jalen Coker is going to outscore Teteroa McMillan for the season. What I am saying is Jalen Coker is a damn good second wide receiver on an NFL team, and you're able to draft that right now at wide receiver 56 on an offense that you and I actually think from week 1 is going to air it out a bit more often than they did starting in week 1 last year.
Yes, it's kind of like round 13 range. Rashid Shaheed, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Coker, those are like, to me, very established wide receiver twos for their team. Those offenses at least are passable too. So I think like this is like the last picks of your draft. I think that Jalen Coker is somebody that will, I think, be ranking inside the top 50 for a lot of the weeks this season.
Let's talk about a rookie, because rookies are always undervalued in your home leagues, and especially ones that, you know, people hated with the 33rd overall pick last April. DeShon Stribling, he's the composite wide receiver 61. And for us, he falls around the wide receiver 52. Hey, and I think pre-draft opinions are anchoring him right now. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, almost went in the first round to an offense that just like walks to top 10 finishes every single season. And a lot of the top guys are banged up. That was, Mike Evans is now back at practice, but George Kittle coming back from injury, Christian McCaffrey, some soreness. And obviously he's competing with Debo Samuel, who's been like playing running back for the team because they're so banged up at wide receiver. I think this one could be a slow September, and then by October, they're like, okay, our team is so slow, so old, so banged up. If we don't get DeShon Stribling more involved, we're absolutely cooked this season. So I think it's gonna be one of those players where you hold the line, and then I think you just wait for the big games to come. He is really fast. He's big. He's a good blocker. He's a smart player, all those type of things. I think he's going to be in the mix for the wide receiver 3 role right away. And then I think long term, they really have no option. He has to be the wide receiver 2 as they close out the season. They're not even paying Debo Samuel that much money.
Yeah, the season's very long. And we constantly see players like Debo Samuel start off quick and then give way to rookies. And at the very least, that's your three wide receiver set stuff with DeJuan Stripling, and that can condense itself down to two wide receiver stuff. And that's even attached to someone like Mike Evans, who misses four games per season now because of his hamstrings. And it gets to a point where, like, the ball is going to find DeJuan Stripling. And in fact, our buddy Ted Nguyen, who does great work over at The Athletic, was at 49ers practice. And he said, quote, Mike Evans and Stripling together with 12 personnel makes this offense huge. It's a far cry from typical slot types the 49ers collected before. And then he added, Stripling hype is justified. He looks so explosive, especially after the catch. My one reservation, and kind of goes to what you're saying, is that this is not an easy offense to play in for a rookie. Shanahan talked about the fact that he still has a lot to learn and needs to continue to bank reps. He missed out on some of those early on with an injury. My one final point is, something that kept Brandon Ayuk on the bench after he was a first-round pick was maybe his willingness to block, his attitude, and all that stuff. You and I, watching Stripling at Ole Miss, I wrote it in my notes. I thought he might be and become the best blocking wide receiver in this class. You don't get fantasy points for blocking, but you get on a Kyle Shanahan offense and field because you can block.
That's true. And if you guys are new to us, we have prospect profile, like 10-minute videos on all these rookies. Go back and watch them. You know, it's kind of fun to lay out our takes before we know what team they're on and stuff, and kind of anchor that. I think you and I had like a more optimistic outlook than certainly everyone else. Certainly than everyone else. Now, I will say Shanahan likes him more than we do, but I think we can kind of blend the lines of where we should be ranking him.
Yeah. And look, I understand if you go back through Kyle Shanahan's history, there are some picks when he reaches that don't work and other ones that do. I'll simply say this. If the 33rd overall pick, who was maybe the wide receiver four perceived as that in the spring, then is thrusted into the number two or number three wide receiver spot early in training camp and is drawing rave reviews by beat writers and is massive and athletic, in any other case, if his name was not DeJuan Stripling, I think the fantasy community would be all over it, as we see with round four, five, six, seven guys that are lighting it up in camp. And yet, I think people are still being incredibly slow to react here with Stripling, and I want to be on the opposite end of that.
If you just want to spend 10 seconds looking something up, watch him pull away from the Georgia defenders. He had a 75-yard catch. Watch him run in a straight line, and you'll be like, okay, I see the vision at least.
Let's talk about some other players that have been in the news. And I actually want to lead off with Denzel Boston. This doesn't necessarily, you know, fit in the parameters we laid out, but I'm going to bring him up anyways, because his composite ADP, and I think this has really climbed in recent days, which meshes with his camp, wide receiver 59. He is my wide receiver 57. I think you're right in line with us too, Hayden. Both Browns rookies have put forth awesome camps. However, Boston is the one that is drawing headlines. I mean, there's a constant drumbeat or echo chamber for him every single day. Where are you at with someone who outperforms maybe second round expectations like this in camp, is attached to these quarterbacks, and yet I see my timeline full of highlight reel catches?
I was a believer in Denzel Boston as a prospect. He was my 21st overall player. He was my wide receiver four. My comps were like Michael Pittman, Michael Wilson. Like, those guys have had like really awesome seasons as like big catch radius guys. But also those guys have, for stints, have been volume hogs and somebody that you can kind of work a little bit on, like the slant routes, not necessarily screen game stuff, but some of the other underneath type of routes. I thought he was able to sink his hips for somebody as big as he is. And I think the calling card is just how big he is, and that you can obviously just throw it up to him. The camp reports have been so favorable that some are just speculating that he's like actually just going to lead this team in all the receiving stuff. That's a
it's in the range of outcomes now.
But yes, it's absolutely in the range of outcomes. I think him and Casey Concepcion are awesome dart throws later on. I liked Casey Concepcion a little bit more than Denzel Boston on tape. I thought his explosiveness was just like so unreal. And he's a little bit more fantasy friendly in that you can like scheme up touches to him. Right. But the difference between the two in my profiles was not so drastic. That's not impossible for Denzel Boston to like leap him this season. So spend one of your picks on Denzel Boston or Casey Concepcion at the very end of your draft. I think that's a good strategy.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, this isn't one of those offenses that could be totally undervalued, that you could get both in the wide receiver 50 range and feel good about it. Like, you kind of have to pick your shot here, because at the end of the day, we're tied to Deshaun Watson and Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. But again, the one-on-one highlight reel catches are there. He's a red zone monster. I mean, these college defensive backs would just bounce off of him. It was amazing to see. He's running with the starters already. Cam Wolf of NFL Network / ESPN talked to a Brown source that told him, quote, looks like he can be Drake London for us. His ability to go get the ball is special, but he's more than that. I don't care what he runs in a 40. He's quicker than you think. And then Wolf added his own opinion that he believes that Denzel Boston is ultimately going to be this team's wide receiver one. Again, this is where we can kind of take a really good preseason performance and maybe extend it maybe a little bit too far. I don't want to go there because, again, these are two very talented players. And Hayden, it goes to building a basketball room. And I think they really have with the talents that Denzel Boston has and then what Casey Concepcion. And in 2027, I'm even more excited what Todd Monken can do. But right now, I think it is still easy to be ahead of market on Denzel Boston.
Yeah, I mean, he's completely free still. I mean, all these guys are completely free. The ESPN reporter says he doesn't track wide receivers necessarily, but he's 95% sure Denzel Boston leads Brown's training camp in targets and reception. And he said by a good margin. So, you know, it's like, take notice here. Not that surprising. A lot of people had him as a round one guy.
And I do want to say, just because Boston is doing this, that again doesn't mean that Concepcion is having a bad camp. In fact, he's having a very good camp. Both of them are. And that's great. Like, they are leaving Cedric Tillman in like the freaking dust and Jerry Jeudy and Isaiah Bond and wherever else. So again, Todd Monken looked at his wide receiver room and he just said a big nope, and then spent two round picks on replacing them for the future. And it looks like they are both hits at this point. And that's great. That's really good for the future. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk Terry McLaurin, and maybe not necessarily him as an individual, but how he's impacted by the players around him, because Laremy Tunsil was out for the majority of the season with a torn biceps. Now, Terry McLaurin is going as wide receiver 22. I still have him as my wide receiver 22, but Hayden, he's your wide receiver 27. Is the left tackle effect impacting that? And if so, how much?
Yeah, he's at the bottom kind of this tier. I think all these guys are so close together, but I'm looking at, you know, the combination of now the tackle play is in pretty rough shape. You're going to be moving a second year player over to the left side, most likely, in Josh Connerly. And that was kind of an up and down performance.
Is that the reports? Because I haven't noticed if that's a report or if they're going to move Brandon Coleman back from guard to tackle. Like, I think the two options are out there, and I've seen both floated out there.
Okay, yeah. I think either way, we're talking about it's a very different ballgame than having Laremy Tunsil. And then Terry McLaurin historically has been somebody that has running downfield routes. And obviously, it's a little bit harder to connect on those if you're under pressure, which I think is more reasonable. I think maybe the bigger thing is just, you know, Steph Diggs, I thought, was still pretty dang good last year. And I do think that Steph Diggs is going to get a lot more of the underneath easier stuff, and that Terry McLaurin is, like, you know, he's not a sacrificial X, and they're going to do more creative stuff this year, where in previous seasons he was like literally just running the same route over and over from the same spot. You're going to get some more creativity here, but you would rather, you know, Laremy Tunsil be in and Steph Diggs not existing on this team. So I moved him down. Like, he's next to Luther Burden, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams. I would just say I would definitely rather have Ladd McConkey, Jameson Williams. I really like Christian Watson and Rome Odunze. I even threw Parker Washington ahead of him, you know. But it's the same tier, you know. If you want to disagree, I can hear it.
Yeah, I still have him behind Garrett Wilson, Ladd McConkey, and Emeka. Then there's that group of, like you said, Burden, Watson, Odunze, DJ Moore, Parker Washington. This is a tough one because it's a player I've been hyping up all summer long. Like, I went on the Ringer Fantasy Football Show and made a claim for Terry McLaurin. That was when he was the only wide receiver on this team. They hadn't, you know, signed Stephon Diggs yet. And then Laremy Tunsil was out there. And Tunsil's a big thing because you can leave Tunsil on an island and say, okay, are then four other guys get to block three other pass rushers, and we can trust our left tackle and leave him in that situation. However, I still believe the David Blau-ness and effect can be positive in that Terry's not going to run, you know, 74% of his routes at left wide receiver, stationary, no motion, no play action. Like, these things and the easy buttons are going to be hit, I still believe, are going to impact Terry in a big way. But I also want to shine a mirror on myself and say, I've been taking a real optimistic lens on the Commanders overall.
Yep.
And just going through the roster and already this big injury, there's a pretty easy case to be made that the floor could fall out from underneath them. And I probably need to factor that in a little bit more.
Yeah, I moved Jaden Daniels down to, I had him like right next to Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts and those. Jalen Hurts is like rushing more. And then Jaden Daniels, there was a report that from Robert Mays that they're kind of stripping away some of the quarterback design stuff because they want him to scramble. Now, like, scrambles are really effective. And I understand that strategy. It's like, just get in the drop back. If you want to take off, and we'll save some of the hits. So I don't want to ding him too much, but I mean, look at that offensive line. The starting five is, it's awful. Like, let's just be honest around here. We're talking about, they lost their center too. So it's going to be a new right. center, new left tackle, second year player at right tackle. It looks like, just looked it up, who was inconsistent, needed some development as a prospect, in my opinion. So it's not the greatest situation for Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin to thrive in, to the point where I think that season from 2 years ago, I would be, you know, betting against that outcome coming this year.
Yeah, Nick Allegretti's at center, coming in for Tyler Biadasz because they misread the center market. And Allegretti's like missed time with KC, and I actually think he's missed some time in yes. training camp too. So.
What can go wrong?
All right, one more rookie. Yeah. Let's talk Cyrus Allen of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's composite wide receiver 81 in your redraft leagues. He's my wide receiver 67. Where do you have him? I couldn't even find him on your list.
I mean, for redraft, he's on okay. the waiver wire.
Let me make a pitch to you, okay?
Go for it. Yeah.
Because, look, we haven't gotten to preseason games. We will this weekend, and then we get to talk about them on Monday and Tuesday. So I reserve the ability to change my opinion. But when we do get fed from beat writers and fans alike, these practice reps, two plays really stood out to me here for Cyrus Allen. First, extended red zone play. Rashee Rice is locked up in man coverage on the left side, as he is typically in man coverage. And then Cyrus Allen kind of works on a string with Patrick Mahomes, cuts upfield at the perfect time, second phase separation, touchdown. Then in another drill, the corner is perfectly playing the inside leverage that he has. So Patrick Mahomes throws it to the open space, his back shoulder, and Cyrus Allen like perfectly adjusts, catches it, comes down with a big gain. So again, we're talking about a day three rookie here. We've been, not us, but bitten by the past the fantasy community has with overperformers in training camp for the Chiefs. Carson Steele, Justin Ross, Jalen Royals, mm-hmm. Breshad Smith, and Denarius Prince, just to name a few. Cyrus Allen might be next on that list, but hey, I am also a little bit Cyrus Allen curious here and okay. think that it's perfectly okay to be 14 spots above ADP and like now is the time to take him since he's going as wide receiver 81.
I am not going to rain on anyone's Cyrus Allen parade. Like I am totally open to this. Most redraft leagues just don't get to the point where you have to draft him. But if you are in a deep league, like this is what flyers are supposed to be, especially if you're drafting early. Like these are the type of guys you want to click and then just see what the hell happens, whether it's like, oh, Rashee Rice is just like not going to be that guy this year, which by the way, there was a report from ESPN's Chiefs reporter saying that he's betting against 1,000 yards this year
for Rashee Rice. So on that point, yeah. like if Rashee mm-hmm. Rice isn't going to get 1,000 yards, if yeah. Xavier Worthy is who he is and doesn't improve,
right.
if Travis Kelce is 37 years old yeah. and has been declining massively, then who is going to step up in the pass catching game?
Yeah, that's why I'm not drafting that much Patrick Mahomes. I think Kenneth Walker is the guy to draft. okay. You know, I think like all of these things can be true. I will say this, like Cyrus Allen, the bar to be the best man coverage wide receiver on the Chiefs is pretty low, especially yeah. if they're going to keep the Xavier Worthy stuff at like X receiver and like kind of sacrifice him. And the Rashee Rice stuff, every clip I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, I haven't seen yeah. a lick of improvement
we
yet.
So
that's, yes, that's where I'm like, okay, Cyrus out. I will move him up my rankings.
Okay, let's talk about two players we're lower on than consensus. The first one also has a bit of news attached to it. That is Alec Pierce in your home leagues being selected as wide receiver 33. He's my wide receiver 41, and he's Hayden's wide receiver 47. Explain yourself.
Well, I mean, I'd like him to walk without a limp. I mean, I saw a video of him signing autographs with Patriots fans, which is already kind of weird. But he's standing up on a hill, and the way he was moving up the hill was very ginger. And then when Yikes. He was walking away, like it just seemed like he was still walking with a limp. I mean, like, we're getting close to the season, whether he had a second PRP injection or not, just like this was a serious injury. It was a weirdly timed surgery, like right after he signed that contract. And like, they didn't want him to have this surgery at the time. They like, tried to do the first PRP injection. For a while, I thought Alec Pierce was like undervalued. And now I'm just like, looking at it. I think there's a chance he can start on PUP. We are still a full month away from this, but he to me is somebody that if he's not fully himself, I don't think that his value is going to be all that big, just because he has to blow by guys down the field to be really efficient. Or what he did last year was be better on the in cuts. Man, I feel like that'd be hard to do if your left ankle is on sideways still. So I'm just not liking what I'm seeing so far.
Just to go through the timeline, he had left ankle surgery in March. He received a PRP injection, I think, before that, and then just received another PRP injection in his left ankle. Beats are saying, they made sure to say, maybe via the team, that this wasn't a setback that caused a second injection, but they followed that up by saying there's still no timetable for his return. I mean, we are getting close to the season. And so on the surface, as we've talked about constantly, players that miss the entire preseason, either due to holdout or injury, have a very negative effect. They underperform heading into that season. And then on top of it, this is still a player that you and I really like. Like from week 9 and on, he was the wide receiver 16 in points per game. His game was growing, right? It wasn't just the high variance downfield stuff. There were more digs. There were more in-breakers. And then he was paid like one of the best wide receivers in the game. But now we aren't necessarily going to see like that development hit itself in training camp and see him take over or maybe take some of the routes and targets that Michael Pittman Jr. got. And so he's still being selected around these high variance wide receivers and Marv and BTJ and DK Metcalf, at least on Yahoo. And basically you and I are totally out on him because I would take him maybe a tier below that at this point.
Yeah, there is a point where if he's guaranteed going to be on your bench, and like we're getting closer to that, I think maybe by the time it's Labor Day and stuff, he's like going to be your bench and you're not relying on him in your starting lineup for the first couple of weeks, and you're kind of like free rolling this. But the initial timeline is 4 to 6 months, which is that's a very severe injury. He had it in March. That means like August or September return. It seems like it's going to be a September/October return for him. And then we'll see. So man, I've drafted a lot of Alec Pierce and I'm not feeling great about it.
Got it. So maybe this is like a self-correction. You're like, no more Alec Pierce.
We'll see.
I can't do it. Okay, let's talk Cortland Sutton, who in previous years you've drafted a lot, one of your favorite players in the league, being selected as wide receiver 37 in your home leagues, and he's our wide receiver 44, basically. Hayden, I think he's getting squeezed two ways, right?
Yes.
He's getting squeezed by adding Jaylen Waddle, who is going to be the pillar of this passing game. That's why you trade a first-round pick for him. And also in training camp, he's getting squeezed by our guy Pat Bryant. There was an entire Up and Adams, K. Adams episode on literally every single person from Pat Surtain to Bo Nix to Sean Payton saying, yeah, Pat Bryant's the best player in training camp. So, Cortland Sutton, second straight season of 1,000 yards, 74 catches, 7 touchdowns last year. Yeah. But it's not sounding good for your boy Cortland Sutton right now to pay off in fantasy.
Yeah, I think that the Pat Bryant stuff is interesting because they would be playing a similar-ish role to the point where if they wanted to get Pat Bryant on the field and they're going to be doing two wide receiver set stuff, which could be, you know, a fullback or a second tight end in this offense, or, you know, sometimes even a second running back. I think he would come off the field rather than Jaylen Waddle. And like if he's no longer 100% snaps and he's 80% snaps, like that's how you lose out from being a flex option to a bench option. I still thought Cortland Sutton had a really good season, but I thought Pat Bryant was flashing. It's not that big of a surprise that they absolutely love him. They can save $12.5 million by cutting him next off season. So like they could be looking at the long term, be like, hey, our 1-2 is going to be Waddle, Pat Bryant. And not to mention like they still like to do the Marvin Mims stuff on occasion. So
no more.
I mean, he will be on the field some. I can promise you that. I think Pat Bryant's just getting squeezed. There's too many other guys I like. Like Matthew Golden versus Cortland Sutton. Like Matthew Golden to me all day long.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're a full tier below where Cortland Sutton's going in drafts right now. Just for the people, let's outline why we were more pro Pat Bryant than maybe any other show heading into the draft out of Illinois. He had, I think, like arguably the best hands in that class. He caught everything in his frame. And even out of his frame, And it was with a body draped over him because he's not, you know, the most athletic or mobile guy, but he's very, very, very dependable. And I think you could have projected him as a power slot player. And I think you could also project him as an outside, maybe intermediate downfield wide receiver. And we have seen Sean Payton obsess over the slant, power slot, in breaker types. And I kind of wonder if he sees some of that here with Pat Bryant too.
Yeah, I remember I was posting Pat Bryant highlights right before the draft, and I'm watching them right now. And the first play is a huge slot fade. Yes. He was also an awesome interview.
The best.
Speaking of interviews, does Kay Adams interview Sean Payton every week? I mean, this is like, I feel like I watch those two together all the time. But yeah, Pat Bryant, he's like not aesthetically pleasing. I think that he can be at least Juwan Jennings. And I think there's a chance that he can kind of, you know, take that next step here. So I wouldn't say that he's draftable in redraft yet, but I think it's more of if he gets in the way of Courtland Sutton, like that's a fantasy storyline.
I have Pat Bryant as wide receiver 65. That is just after Dontayvion Wicks and Travis Hunter, the dream, but before Trey Harris and Cyrus Allen.
Yeah.
Does that sound crazy?
No, I mean, especially in redraft, like your last couple picks like could be complete just wild cards. I usually like to spend those on like running backs, but you can do the same thing with these upcoming wide receivers.
Yeah, just on Yahoo, Courtland Sutton right now is going in the same round of Parker Washington and Jordan Tyson, albeit at the end of that round, but still ahead of like Quentin Johnson, for example. I would rather take the somewhat mystery box of Quentin Johnson in this Mike McDaniel offense. Take what Courtland Sutton is in this offense at this date.
Yep.
All right. I have one more name for you before we get out of here. And it's not a wide receiver, but we're not going to talk tight ends. I need to throw George Kittle's name at you because right now he's going 86th overall in your home leagues. And I have him 75th overall. I think as soon as we find out that George Kittle is going to actually suit up for week one, he's going to jump a full round in your home league drafts. And that could be very soon. Matt Zenitz said, quote, a high level of confidence that George Kittle will play in week one. And if that's the case, and we are seeing him run at full speed, back and forth with maybe some of the mystery or uncertainty around the Mike Evans injury off and on training camp, stripling we talked about, obviously Debo coming in for Ricky Pearsall, then George Kittle, week one through whenever he has the wheels fall off, instantly becomes like one of the, I think, targets among all tight ends in your fantasy draft.
I just wrote up on Yahoo column looking at the six of us at the Yahoo analysts that are ranking all these players and finding the players that we have the most disagreements with, like just the craziest variance between the rankings. And George Kittle was the guy that you and I have the biggest split on head to head. I'm looking at just an older player who tore his ACL or tore his Achilles in January, and I'm just like, you know, weighing those odds. George Kittle is also the type of cat that makes me look stupid doing that. So we'll see. I'm in the waiting game. We just had a podcast from Schefter saying like, oh, they could slow play this. That might just be like mean week two instead of week one. I don't care about that. He's in that, you know, tier of tight ends that I don't absolutely love, like the, you know, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews tier.
Someone's going back to back with Travis Kelce. Like I would rather take the swing on George Kittle at this point than Travis Kelce.
I think that's fair. I think I would still rather take the swing on Dalton Kincaid and maybe Isaiah Likely, but I think it's all kind of grouped together. Typically in a redraft, I'm really trying to get one of those top eight guys and not getting into this tier, but George Kittle is the one that I would be, you know, most fearful of that group of just like completely windmill dunking on top of me. So we'll see.
That does it. We have a running back version of this episode tomorrow. Let us know some wide receivers that maybe you rank much higher than are going in your leagues as you're doing these mocks or your home league drafts as well. Would love to hear and read the comments down below. And again, lock in. Monday and Tuesday are big episodes. We have massive ranking changes.